Freedom Fiends, yo. What's up, Nima?
Oh, I am doing good, my friend. How are you?
How you doing, Nima Vidati?
I am doing very well.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends, here on Easter Podcat. Did you have some podcats today, Nima?
Oh, yes. Although, cats aren't really allowed.
Cats aren't allowed?
No cats allowed.
No cats allowed. No cats allowed. No cats allowed. Yo. Okay, Nima, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Good. Oh. Yeah, we got... Can people hear us? Can you hear us? Can you hear us now?
Hello, hello.
People said they can't hear us. Can you hear us now?
Can you hear us now?
Are we on the interwebs?
Are we there? Are we there? Are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yeah. We had an interesting cat-tastic morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I taught Peanut all about the joys of videos for cat.
Yeah, we showed Peanut some cats. Some cat pictures, and Peanut was pretty astonished with it, I think. Peanut was befuddled by it, actually.
You didn't think he could handle it.
I know. Peanut can't handle it. You can't handle the truth, Peanut. Yeah.
He was quite entranced with Winter Birds for Cats on YouTube.
Yeah. People. Hello, people.
Happy bunnies, everybody.
The people.
Sounds like a socialist.
Why?
The people?
Well, it is the birthday of the great labor leader. What's his name?
Cesar Chavez.
Yeah, Cesar Chavez. Yeah, there's a lot of streets named after him in California for some reason. They named Army Street.
They take their grapes seriously.
In San Francisco, they renamed Army Street as Cesar Chavez. Yeah, I guess back then, you know, organizing labor was a good idea back when they were machine gunning people for wanting more than 2 cents an hour. But, yeah.
Somehow I think there had to be another way to deal with it other than socialism. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't even know if people can hear us, man. People are saying that they're hearing an archive on LRN.
An archive on LRN? No.
Yeah. Well, I guess we just talk as if that ain't happening.
Yes.
Talk about the cats, baby. Talk about the cats.
Oh, you mean Charlie, our complacent older cat who allowed us to pile stuff all over her today?
For the podcat picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be a little louder. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's odd for you to tell me to be louder. You're always telling me, inside voice.
No, man, broadcast voice.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That got really, really crunchy there.
Yes, I thought so.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I don't want to talk about the government today. The government is just, ugh. Government makes me itchy. I turn into an itchy kitty.
Yes, you do. You do.
I'm giving her a thumbs up, meaning be louder. You're too quiet, baby.
I'm sorry. I'm yelling in my own ears, and it sounds loud enough there.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I can turn down our headphones. This is the Freedom Fiend soundcheck show, where we spend the whole first segment soundchecking. I guess we're going to have... Some really interesting things later today. Some conflict.
Well, and maybe.
They say that conflict is the essence of drama. And I guess we're going to be a conduit for some kind of pod beef, man. I don't know. I don't care. People can call in and talk. Someone called me last night and wanted to complain to me about somebody. And I was like, I'm busy, man. Call and do it on the show. And he's like, okay. And I don't even know what it was. But yeah, it was. And then someone else called while we were sound checking and said, I heard so-and-so is going to call in and badmouth me, and I want a chance to call in and reply.
Defend myself. And I thought, well, you know, all right.
Of course,
I believe in self-defense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess we're going to have some people arguing while you and I make sweet, sweet love and turn down our mics. Hopefully we'll remember to turn down our mics.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what happened interesting this week? I guess we want to talk about, I don't want to talk about the governor. I want to talk about this movie called Kumare, which I think everyone should go see. You saw about 4 minutes of Kumare. What'd you think?
Not my thing. I mean, somebody doing an experiment and how can I, you know, can I get away with fraud on a wholesale basis?
On a religious basis.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things I have issues with there. Fraud and religion.
Yeah. Well, basically, it was a guy from New Jersey. He's probably about 35 years old, who was brought up Hindi by his grandparents and parents. And yeah, it's on streaming. Kumare is on streaming for Netflix and on Netflix for streaming. And the guy basically, he was trying to get away from his religion when he was about 15 to 20. And that was the time when America was embracing Hinduism and yoga. And
yoga primarily
was becoming a multi-billion dollar business. And there were a lot of people who were shaman, some from India, some from America, using Indian traditions and presenting themselves as conduits to, you know, the infinite, and some of them presenting themselves as the only conduit to the infinite and having followers, you know, buying them things and licking them in special places. And yeah, it was he just decided, well, I'm going to grow my beard and my hair and pretend to be a yogi and speak like, I will speak like my grandmother. And,
well, and he, you know, I will give him props for at least going to India and studying yogis and, you know, he learned some of it, but it just, the little that I saw offended me so deeply that someone would work this hard to perpetrate a fraud just to see if he could. You know, the obvious answer is, yes, you can perpetrate a fraud on people because there's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah, so he went to Phoenix, Arizona, and set up, you know, his own little ashram and ended up with a bunch of deluded New Age people thinking he was the Godhead. And one of the funniest things in it is he has a scene where he has a little prayer place set up, and he's got some pictures and some incense, and he's got a picture of himself, a picture of Obama, and a picture of bin Laden, and there's people praying toward it.
These are your meditation points.
Yeah, like you know, they didn't recognize Osama bin Laden. They were just like, oh, man with beard who doesn't look like he's from America, he must be a holy man. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of holy men then running around. And, you know, okay, so he gets a quarter point from me for a lot of his spiel seemed to be generated around what you see is not what is true. And, you know, almost like an admission of, I'm a fraud. Can you tell? Can you tell?
Part of his rap was in all his speeches, he would say, you know, I am not what I appear to be. No one is what they appear to be. I am a fraud. Everyone is a fraud, you know, and
yeah, he was protecting himself from lawsuits.
Well, I used to do that too. I used to, like, you know, tell girls, if you love me, I will hurt you. And, you know, that gave me free rein to cat around and
to go ahead and hurt them. Yeah, you tried that with me.
Did it work? Did I hurt you?
No. Baby, I'm still here.
Look at Peanut. The cats are just running in and out. We got the windows open today. It's spring. Yeah, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
It has sprung in Wyoming.
Boing.
Yes, the bison are bouncing.
Yeah. So I guess Eddie Free's going to call in and
maybe
badmouth somebody, and then the person he's badmouthing is going to call in. I think Free Talk Live, you know, I normally wouldn't host something like this, but Free Talk Live did it for us once. So we will host a Pod Beef today, which will be coming up in a few moments. Worms.
Yo.
fiends.
Fiends, bitches.
Fiends.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Okay. I think this fiend is Eddie phone. Free. Eddie Free?
No, it's Eddie Fiend.
Depends what you say. If you start a huge pod beef, I don't want my name attached to it. I'm giving you airtime here, but I don't even know what you're going to talk about. But I know that the guy you're going to talk about called in right before the show and demanded that he be able to call back after and refute it. So what you got, Eddie?
That's wonderful. Well, what I have is it's no surprise that, you know, the Liberty Movement or Liberty Mission has been infiltrated. We started a cause to defend a guy named Eustace Conway, who's a mountain man, they call him, and he lives in North Carolina, where he has a camp and he's teaching sustainable living and farming, that kind of thing, and to living off the land. And the county's come down on him for a bunch of permits. And so we're trying to defend them. We created a Facebook group, and we're just, you know, started to promote what's going on with him. And so we, you know, his Facebook, or his website has, you know, a donation page and all that. Well, we did a real big push late Wednesday night, and we started getting members signing up. It was like 100. We started getting like 100 people requesting every 20 minutes or so to join. Well, the next morning, I was contacted by a girl named Samantha, calling herself Samantha Liberty. And she said, well, I've talked to Eustace, and we're doing a fundraiser. And, you know, do you mind promoting it and that kind of thing? And at the time, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, I didn't really know who she was, and I was really busy during the day. I was working. Well, I finally got home, and by the time I got home, I started looking at the page, and I saw that her and this other guy named Richard Free Spirit were spamming our Facebook page with their own donation page. And the donations were going directly to them and not Eustace. And Eustace already had his own donation page. Well, I thought this was suspicious, so I contacted her and I said, you know, I don't know who you are. No one's told me about you, and you're spamming my page with your fundraiser that's going directly to you and not to you, directly to Eustace. And I said, you know, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and pull your posts off of mine and just, you know, just promote your fundraiser on your own Facebook page until we settle this. She refused to do it. You know, at that point, I decided to pull her off. And so I deleted her from the group and Richard. And, well, then it all started, these attacks. This guy, Richard, went all over the Internet. Every video comment section that has me in it, every article, he started saying that I changed my last name because I was arrested for selling drugs to minors. And he said that I was creating donation pages and stealing from people and that I had stolen from him. And it's just been nonstop, him attacking me all over the Internet. And, you know, so it's been going back and forth, and he won't stop. And, and really, I mean, I just wanted to let folks know that, you know, they can donate to Eustace at Turtle Island Preserve directly to Eustace. We've taken care of the situation. We've gotten him off of the site, meaning Richard and his girlfriend Samantha. You know, he says that he had contacted Eustace about doing the page. Well, Eustace, you know, lives out in the boonies, and he's been out there for 30-some-odd years, and you know, Eustace didn't know who they were. And so I looked into their profiles, looked into her profile, and it just wasn't right. And all I wanted to do was just wait and see if I could verify who they were. And the attacks just kept coming. And so that's it. I just want to warn people about this guy. He's a fraud. He's got 800 mutual friends of mine. I have 800 mutual friends with him. No one has stepped up to defend this guy. nobody knows who he is. And why would he create a donation page that goes directly to him? And the way he set up the donation page was you had to reach $35,000 or you don't get any of the money. You have to reach, he set it up to where there's a goal of $35,000. And I started thinking about this. Why would you set up the donation page to where if you only got, say, $24,000, then you really don't even get the money? You know, there's two ways that you can do this donation page. So why would you siphon and funnel off donations away from the main donation page, which he said that he didn't even know about, which is a lie, I'm sure. And why would you set it up to where if you only got like $34,000 donations, if you don't reach the goal, then you don't get any of the money? So none of it makes any sense. But my theory of it is that they're gambling. They're taking the gamble to, you know, all or nothing, $35,000 or bust. And if they failed, well, they still get to, you know, create a little bit of credibility and for the next fraud that they try to pull on everyone. And I'm stopping them. I am going to bury him. He messaged me just a little while ago wanting to quit now.
I think he's...
I blasted out.
He's tried to call in twice while you've been talking. I'm going to let you talk until the commercial break, and then I'm going to have him call in. So you got a few more minutes here.
Yeah. Well, you know, so the thing is you know, maybe they're not, you know, I can't see how he's got 800 some odd friends and none of them are sticking up for him. None of them are coming out and saying, hey, this guy is honest. You know, the whole thing just reeks of a scam. You know, the Liberty Movement's getting bigger and bigger, where there's more money being generated. And, you know, this guy's had this Facebook page since 2009, so he's trying to protect this profile, which I'm going to just bury. I posted from some of the larger pages that I admin on, and, yeah, he's going to call up and he just has nothing. He'll have nothing to substantiate any of his claims. So, well, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Really, it's obvious. Why would you set up a donation page to go directly to yourselves rather than directly to Eustace? And really, that's it, Michael. I mean, DJ, you're there too, right?
I am. I have a question, though, for you. You said with this goal of 35,000, now picking your numbers, if they only get to 24, does that 24 go anywhere, or does it just go back, you know, where does that go?
It doesn't get pulled from the credit card owner's account.
Okay.
He could have set up his donation page to where the money is immediately taken out, and if he only gets, you know, 10,000, then he gets it, but he didn't do that.
Okay,
I understand. Eddie Free. Eddie Free on the Fiends.
Eddie Free.
Eddie Free upset at some guy, and some guy will be calling in after the break. Thanks, Eddie. Take care, man. Hope it works out.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons. Freedom Fiends.
Welcome back, Freedom Fiends.
Yo, Freedom Fiends. Tasty, delicious Freedom Fiends.
With a sugar-coated Freedom Fiends for Easter.
With a side order of pod beef. Pod beef. Tasty, delicious pod beef. Yeah. So, that was Eddie Free in the last segment. And today we got Ricky responding. And then hopefully, Nikki Darling will call in and talk about her pets or something and clear everything away. So, Ricky, go ahead. You got like 7 minutes before the next commercial, and that's when you're out. So go ahead, man.
Okay, cool. Great. Hopefully shorter than 7 minutes. It should be a very simple thing to clear up here. Without directly defending anything Eddie said, I just first want to tell my part of the story from what happened. My wife and I were up late online, and I had seen somebody on my Facebook feed post a Eustace Conway video, and we both saw that, and we talked about it for like 2 hours, and we both came to the conclusion that if there was ever a time in our lives that we needed to take a stand and stick up for someone and really put our lives on the line, it would be this guy worth fighting for. I don't know if everybody listening to this has seen the Eustace Conway stuff, but I'm telling you, this guy, he needs our help and he needs our support. And if there's anybody out there worth fighting for, it's definitely him. So with that being said, we decided to start a fundraiser page for him on GoFundMe.com, which the night before I had had a friend tell me about it. So you can imagine, I took this as a sign from God, literally. I was like, oh, somebody told me about a fundraising page last night that we could use, because we were actually thinking about starting a greenhouse on our property, and we were going to use all the food that was grown in the greenhouse, and we were going to donate it to soup kitchens. That way, so poor people could not only eat, but they could eat healthy, because all the GMOs are just making people sick. So we were originally going to start a project on Kickstarter.com, and I was talking to my friend about it, and that's when he recommended GoFundMe.com. So with that all being said, when we saw the Eustace thing, we decided to throw everything else out the window right now and just focus on raising money for Eustace. And GoFundMe.com has the perfect platform that you can go and make. I don't know if anybody on here is familiar with blogging or like Squiddo, but you can set up a web page purely dedicated to whatever your cause is. And so if you go on that page, you can see there's people on there that raise ridiculous amounts of money really fast for stupid things. For instance, there was a guy on there who raised $40,000 in under 1 week just to buy shoes. Granted, he was one of the tallest guys in the world, but 40 grand for shoes, that's a little ridiculous. So when I saw that, and I dug into a bunch of different things so that I could figure out how to make the perfect page for Eustace, when I saw that, I figured, hey, if people are going to donate that much money for freaking shoes, they're going to see a cause like this, and, you know, we'll be able to fundraise this guy. So without even knowing that this guy had a website, we thought he was just some hermit. We had no idea that he had a community full of people. So before we even knew that, we had the fundraiser up and live. Shortly after that, we called Eustace and left him a voicemail, and he called back like an hour later, and we talked, and we told him that we were trying to raise him 35 grand, and we explained exactly how it was all going to work. We had also requested his account information so that we could hook up the fundraising site directly to his account, which they don't ask for that information until the money's raised. So we wanted to have that ready to go. We did not have any funds going into our accounts in any way, shape, or form. Everything that Eddie is saying is based purely off of paranoid ideas that he has in his head. Why? I mean, come on, logically think about it. Why would I have a Facebook page for 4 years just to scam one guy? If I wanted to scam someone, why? There's plenty of other ways to try and raise money. I'd say I had cancer or something before I went and tried to find the most innocent, respectful man that's fighting for our freedom in the world to scam. I'm a freedom loving American, and I'm not the devil. You would have to be the devil incarnated to hunt out Eustace Conway and try and scam all his followers. Now, I do understand how it's suspicious. I get that. But the way that he went about it was completely wrong. He decided, without even asking me or my wife anything, to take the assumption that he came up with in his head as truth. And so what he did was he blocked us from the group. He wrote on his page and all the groups that we were professional con artists and just started slandering our names all throughout the internet. So that fired me up, because we stayed up for two nights straight trying to raise money for him. We pulled in over $100 an hour. We pulled in $1,100 in under 24 hours for Eustace before Eddie Free stopped our momentum and brought a whole negative thing into this. And so he ended up getting the whole thing shut down, unfortunately for Eustace. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. It was just miscommunication on Eddie's part. He acted way too quickly, and he should have tried to talk to us about it first before jumping to his conclusions, because we really did have a good thing going for Eustace. Eustace was excited about it. His administrative assistant, Desiree, was very excited about it. My mom does like common law and court law stuff every Thursday night in a huge conference call. And we were going to try and get Eustace involved in that so that we could try and help him get the correct paperwork he needed in court so that the government wouldn't even have any jurisdiction over him. We wanted to make it so that, I'm sorry.
Keep going, man. Keep going. Nope. Okay. Keep going.
Must have been some reverb. But yeah, long story short, we just wanted to help the man. And, you know, I'm not a con artist, though. I just wanted to get my name cleared so that the logical, reasonable mind could see this from a bigger perspective and see what's going on. I mean, it's simply just ridiculous that I would go through all this trouble just to con him. And the reason that I had it set up to do it so that it was a goal, so that everybody got charged when the goal was met, was because if you know anything about marketing and sales, when you create a sense of urgency and fear of loss, that drives sales. And so we were just using that psychology to try and help raise money for Eustace. So I don't know if you can let Eddie on this call, but I would love to take questions from him so that I can answer him in real time instead of over Facebook.
No, man, we're done with
man instead of, over this childish Facebook stuff. I think it's quite ridiculous.
No, we've devoted like 20% of our show today to this beef. I mean, you could talk and tell the commercial, but I'm not taking rebutting on this. I didn't even plan to do this. And Eddie's trying to call in, but I think you and Eddie should call each other. This is I'm willing to give this forum for the amount of time we have, but I'm not willing to devote the rest of the show to a pod beef. And Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker is going to come on after the next cast and talk about squirrels and nature, and I'm more interested in that today. But I was happy to give you both the time to be able to talk about it.
Well, I mean, do you have any questions or anybody in your studio for me? Because I'm willing to answer anything. I mean, the truth doesn't need to hide itself. So
No, I think what you've done is you've both given your positions, and if people have questions, they can reach you independently after the show or during the later part of the show.
All right. Thanks for coming on, man.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Can I clarify one more thing real quick?
In about 10 seconds before we get a commercial.
Okay. The reason I nobody stuck up for me on Facebook is because I don't have very many liberty-minded friends in real life. I go to Facebook so that I can connect with those people. I don't know most of them on an individual basis. I friend them all so that we can all help spread like-minded liberty information, because I am a freedom-loving American, like I said before.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Freedom Fiends. So, Ben Quaker. What's up, Ben Quaker?
Hey, Michael. Hey, DJ.
How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing, Ben?
Squirrels. I mean, worms.
Yeah.
Wormy squirrels?
We had to get Ben on here because that was just, you know...
The calm voice of sanity.
Yeah. I felt pretty good about that. I didn't editorialize at all. I just let those guys ramble. The thing that bugged me was they both tried to call back. Like, we want to keep this beef going on your show and monopolize your show. And I'm like, I gave you each a full segment, man. I got nothing else to add here, and I got nothing. No part of me has a desire to devote more of the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Day of Freedom Fiends to pod beefs, so they can take it back to Facebook.
Well, you know, we have no dog in this fight.
Bark, bark, bark.
Bark.
So, Ben, what's new with you?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. Can I throw one line only onto the controversy?
Sure.
You know what kind of like pricked my ears when he said that God had told him to intervene and get a charity going. And then I was just wondering if God told him to start threatening Eddie when things started turning bad.
Ooh.
If that was the same voice in his head that was speaking to him, or if it was a different one.
Well, George Bush said that God made him president so he could go deal with those people over in that other part of the world by bombing them. So it's not uncommon for people to say that God told them to do something.
That always makes my ears prick up. It's like, really? You believe in God and you have enough hubris to believe that he's speaking to you individually?
He stopped everything in the universe to come and tell you to go fix something.
Exactly.
We never talk much. Ben, you don't talk a lot about God, and you are a Quaker. Does God speak personally to you and send you emails?
No.
Does God post to you secretly on Facebook?
No, not so far.
Do you meditate and hear God speaking to you?
No. Well, I do. I do spend time. I spend quiet time, and I think about what the things that I would like, and I think about why that I like them, and I consider that more like introspection or self, you know, just trying to be aware of what it is that I'm thinking and so forth. But if I had some absolute evidence of, you know, God or anything else, any other way you want to put it, then I would have a completely different argument than I have. But currently, you know, I'd like to believe all kinds of things, but I can only believe facts. And I tend to hope that there is a God, But, you know, I can't go and put my finger on him. And so what can I prove, you know?
I put my finger on God in special places.
I don't know. When I was more inclined to believe in a supreme being that might be able to communicate
with me. Make the bus come on time?
Well, no.
Cure cancer?
No, I never believed in a God that was that specific. I think being out in a natural setting and opening yourself up to what it is, and this sounds really hippie, so don't roll your eyes at me, please, honey. No, I think that's about as close to talking to God as people can expect to. It's not a conversation. It's a open yourself up to something larger than yourself, and that's about as much of a back and forth as you're going to get.
I like that.
Tell us more about God, Ben.
Well, how about squirrels instead?
There you go.
I kind of agree with DJ about I find God in nature, but I don't really like to leave the house. So I find God in the nature in my backyard, and that is most often squirrels and bunnies and birds. You're quite the squirrel watcher, aren't you, Ben?
I am. I try to learn as much, and you know, since we're using the word God, or we can refer to whoever or whatever created all that is around us, whether that's one being or whether that's a committee of beings, which I find ridiculous.
A committee.
Most effective.
Central planning.
The most effective means.
Or in just some type of either intelligence or non-intelligence, even if it's just random chance and everything around us is just, 100 billion monkeys typing on a typewriter. Whatever it is that has created all that's around us, I think is absolutely amazing. And the secrets of that creator are revealed in the creation. So when we look at a tree, or we look at a squirrel, or we look at another human being, or we look at a butterfly, I think we see the actual reflection of whatever that is that created all of us in that thing. And the squirrels are particularly high on my rating because they come up and interact with me. So I like them.
Cats, man. Cats are the reflection of God's face to me.
Indifferent and aloof.
Pretty much. Since I'm a deist, I guess that is how I view God.
Yeah. Well, there is a wonder in the diversity, and I think that is the miracle that we are all allowed to observe every day.
So what else, Ben?
My wife and I did a bunch of, we had one nice day. It's springtime, so, you know, within the whole realm of springtime in Ohio, you get, like, maybe one nice day. So we had one nice day yesterday, and so we rushed out in a mad frenzy and started working on our front yard, you know, trying to straighten it up from, because the winters here are just savage. And so, and I'm talking to somebody in Wyoming talking about winter. But so we were out there, we cleaned up a bunch of old stuff that was either dead or half dead from the year before, and we moved it all to the backyard to burn. And then my wife goes out in the backyard and hears this squirrel going through the pile and looks up at her like, "Hey, I'm not doing anything at all," you know. What he was doing was he had found that we had ripped out all of his plants and stuff from the front yard and moved them to a pile in the back, so he's going to go through and try to find his stash.
I just got 5 emails from Eddie Free that are all in capital letters with multiple exclamation points. My spam filter usually puts that into spam, but I guess I have him on my whitelist. So, wow, man. I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy to talk to. I'm not the conduit to the infinite that you're looking for. I'm not a great man. So y'all can take your pod beef elsewhere.
Pod ham. It's Easter. It's a pod ham.
Pod ham, yes. Michael Podham Dean.
Eddie's a good guy. He's my friend. I really, really like him, and he's a sweetheart of a guy, and he would never rip anybody off. I'll just say that for him.
Yeah, I agree, but his limbic system tends to get overstimulated easily.
You know, I tried to listen to both sides with my, if I were a mediator hat on. And
I didn't. I was in the other room petting cats for the whole thing.
Well, you know.
No, I'm kidding. I listen to it.
That's my livelihood involves a lot of analysis of evidence. And I couldn't find a definitive answer in either one. There was a lot of conjecture and accusation, and that doesn't make for easy fact-finding.
Yeah. So, Ben, back to God and squirrels. I'm done with the other thing. So,
I'm in a conversation on our forum, badquaker.com/forum, with David Friedman, the legendary anarchist David Friedman. He actually came on the forum and created a login, and we've been having a very good discussion that's gone on several days now. It's really cool.
There's two David Freemans, I think. Which one is it?
This is the son of Milton Freeman and father of Petrie Freeman.
All right.
He is actually a law professor at Santa Clara University, I believe, in California.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm looking at his Facebooks right now, and I will post this in the. Now, who was it I interviewed? Somebody told me they were a Friedman anarchist. And it was the guy who co-invented Linux. What's his name? He goes by three initials like I do. Anybody? I interviewed him on the Anarchy Gumbo. Anybody got a name there? I know him.
No, I can't.
Yeah,
I remember the interview you're talking about, but I.
Yeah,
he's probably listening to you right now, going, "I can't believe you don't know my name."
I know. Probably not though. So we're gonna keep Ben on for Eric S. Raymond. Is a Friedman anarchist. All right, we're going to have Ben back when we get back. It'll be good. Stick around on Freedom Fiends on LRN.fm. Worms.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the road to freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom Fiends.
Fiends, 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 Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from a windowless bunker. Yeah. Actually, our bunker has a window.
Yes, so we can watch the squirrels. The birds and squirrels and
so,
jackalopes.
Ben Stone, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Michael. Hey, yeah. I have a note from one of my listeners to you in reference to don't bang silver together in front of the microphone. It sounds annoying.
Really?
I keep telling him that.
And Michael immediately does it.
I do.
Whenever you tell Michael don't do something.
I'm like Bart Simpson, man. Yeah. So, Ben, drop some mad science here about the difference between the government and the state, which is actually something you came up with, and I think it's really accurate, and I think when the history books of Libpair, the march toward Libpair are written. I think that's going to be your chapter, is the difference between the state and the government. And it's important, and explain it as if you're talking to someone who's never heard the difference.
Well, first off, we have a certain amount of cumbersome within our language that there's this concept that I hope to describe that doesn't currently have a name. So what I've done, you know, English, my son-in-law used to say that English is a language. You know how they say, well, this was borrowed from French or this was borrowed from Latin or whatever. English is a language that doesn't borrow things from other languages. It sneaks up behind them in an alley, busts them in the head with a wrench, and then goes through their pockets.
Who said that? That's a quote.
My son-in-law,
that's a quote from someone else.
Oh, he may have stole it from someone.
Yeah, there you go. It proves the rule.
Yeah, exactly. But so I'm going to steal, for lack of a better word to describe what it is that I want to describe, I'm going to steal the word state, because people use these words state and government interchangeably. Well, then if there's essentially no difference between state and government, then what's the use of having the two different words? And I realize there is a technical difference between the two, but in common language, they're used interchangeably. So I'm going to steal the word state to mean this entity that I'm going to describe, and we'll take the word government and put that only on the people who are actually employed by government or work for government in one way or another or interact directly with government or believe in that, you know, paying their taxes is their responsibility. All those people are a part of government. But there's this other thing that I call the state, and I capitalize that because it's like a personal name. And I imagine it as the thoughts, the embodiment of all the thoughts and imaginations of everybody who believes that the acts of government are legitimate. Everybody who believes that we have to have a government based on aggression to force, you know, people to behave in a certain way. All those people, their thoughts and their imagination create this invisible being called, I almost said God, but that would have been a Freudian slip, called the state. And the state, in this sense, is a god, just like Zeus was a god and just like Thor was a god. As long as people believe in this being, it's an actual being and it exists. So this god, this greater thing, this state, is what magically gives its power to corporations through the aggression of government to make corporations seem legitimate. A corporation is legitimate because the government says you have these certain rights as a corporation that regular businesses don't have. And not all corporations are bad, I'm not saying that, but corporations have the ability to utilize aspects of what the government calls laws to do things that other people don't get to do. Like, for instance, General Electric, I believe it was on the Hudson, dumped massive amounts of pollutants into the river and then went, oops, government, you want to take care of that? And all the people of America paid to clean it up. And if Ben Stone did that, Ben Stone would be in jail and all my assets would be taken. But because through the mysteries of the state, the government got involved and the government took money from other people and is still spending millions and millions of dollars to clean that up, we think this is good. See, the government saved us from the pollution. But there's no thought that the government created the pollution by allowing General Electric to do this horrible thing that they did. And you can take that. That's just one example. You can take that to Love Canal and what happened there. Or you can, you know, go to Dow Chemical. Or you can pick on any of these big corporations. But it's all based on this mystery of the state, this imagined thing that we believe in that causes government to be legitimate in people's eyes.
Yeah, I think a really common place that the state shows its head is in jury trials for things that aren't really crimes, like weed possession. You know, you've got a bunch of people arguing to throw this person in a cage because this, you know, the state, the collective hallucination that is the state. You've got 12 people who sit in a room and argue, yeah, throw that guy in a cage so I can get out of here and go back to playing video games and smoking weed.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm not real big on the, but how would the roads work? I concentrate more on the fact that the current system is based on theft and is inherently evil. But I don't I'm not one of those guys that sits around thinking of the answers of how things would work in the absence of government. But I know that you are, and you generally have good answers for it. When I talked to Boston Tea Party, I asked him if he was an anarchist, and he said, no, I guess it's hard to explain, but I guess I'm a minarchist, like a very, very minimal minarchist. And I said, what would you have government do? And he said, well, I can't see a way that policing of actual crimes, of violent crimes, would be done if there was no government, because if people came over to the house of someone accused of murder or rape or theft or fraud and said, we're taking you to this citizen's abatement court to see what happened, you know, the guy would say, I don't recognize your authority, get off my property, and they'd have to. How would that work in the absence of a government, in your mind?
Well, there's kind of two trains of thought on this, and as it just so happens, I've been chatting with one of the originators of one of the two trains of thought. But Murray Rothbard, in his view of this problem, he imagined private agencies that would be hired by individuals, and if you normally you would have them on call like the way you hire an insurance company and you pay them every month and then you never need them until one day the wind blows your roof off and then you call them and say, fix my roof, and the whole thing's taken care of. And he imagined these security agencies like that. You pay them a small fee every month and maybe you don't ever need them, but then someday when you do need them, then they're there for you and they go take care of these things in whatever, you know, whatever way that you've paid them to do so. And that might be through arrangements with other security agencies, or it might be direct contact with the bad guy who's done the bad thing. Or and another thing, if you haven't paid, let's say you someone harms you in some way and you haven't been paying one of these agencies over the years, then you can go and hire them, but they're just going to be more expensive since you haven't been one of their customer long, you know, in a long-term situation. Now, that was Rothbard's method. Friedman, David Friedman, and I can't remember the name of his book where he covers this, but he went into a slightly different way where even today, all policing could be done through private agencies and not necessarily the way Rothbard pictured it, where you go and hire very much like an insurance company, but the guy I just mentioned that I can't remember his name now.
David Friedman.
Yeah.
David D. Friedman.
Yes. The economist, not the sci-fi writer or blogger or several others that go by the same name. He's a professor of law at Santa Clara University, I believe. Anyway, he says the method is... all privatized law, and that would work in today's society.
Well, I'm going to keep you on for one more segment because I don't know how that would work. I understand how you pay for it all and hire them, but I don't know what would happen when they showed up at the accused's house and the accused pointed a rifle at him and said, get off my property. So we're going to have you answer that when we come back, and then we're going to open it up for other calls.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yo. Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
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 Wiggly candy worms for Easter.
Yay. Yeah. So, Ben, DJ, ask the question that we were asking.
Well, the question is, how would a private security force enforce a complaint against an individual when they arrive at the individual's property, and he says, "Get off my property."
Okay, I'll take it in two different directions: the Friedman answer and the Rothbard answer. And I'm going to use the Friedman case first because I'm aware of David Friedman's. I'm less aware of Friedman than I am Rothbard. So if I'm going to foul somebody up, I'm going to foul up Friedman's argument. If I understand Friedman correctly, his private police agency would act very similar to, not necessarily today's American police, but more like police from like the maybe the 1950s in the U.S. or whatever, where they would still go ahead and aggress in the sense of, you know, surround the house, shoot it out type, if necessary, whatever it took to get the guy into the system to find justice. If I understand Friedman correctly, that's the way his private agencies would interact with the criminal or the supposed criminal. In Rothbard's world, the owner of the property, who may be a bad guy or may not be a bad guy, would have the right to say, "Stay off my property, you can't arrest me," and no one would be able to invade and do that. On the other hand, you could literally set up a perimeter and not allow anybody in. You could isolate him within that property. And if he, let's say he had a helicopter and tried to fly away, well, then it would be perfectly acceptable to try to down that helicopter and take him into custody, at maybe not shoot the helicopter down, but at least pursue it and bring him to custody once he was on land that he didn't own. Or even if you weren't going to go that far, you could deny him the basic sustenance of life, like, you know, food and water and things like that, by cutting off anything going to him. So in Rothbard's world, it would be a matter of using the community and using other agencies to isolate the bad guy until he decided to give himself up or whatever. Whereas if I understand Friedman correctly, Friedman's private police agencies would have what we might call traditional police powers to go ahead and act as aggressors. Let me put the caveat that if I have misrepresented David Friedman in the past, and he has corrected me on that, and I apologize again for misrepresenting him. So if I misrepresent him now, I'm more than happy to have either he or anyone else correct me on his thoughts.
I see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I guess personally, I tend to favor the social ostracism of, you know, okay, this person has wronged someone, therefore we will all turn our backs on him rather than go out and drag him to justice, because that just sounds a little too much like a lynch mob.
It does, really.
Yeah. Although, what is a police agency, you know, in the public sector?
A lynch mob with authority.
In Rothbard's world, you would have these different, almost like insurance agencies, would function with each other, and they would know that, you know, for all of them to function the best, then they would all need to cooperate. So, you know, a company would have a hard time insuring a business that if it was known that that business worked with criminals, then a company would say, like, well, I don't want to even insure that business. So that could mean that if there was a known bad guy that did bad things, and he bought his groceries at Joe's grocery store regularly, then Joe might have a hard time insuring, you know, getting fire insurance maybe even buying
customers.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe buying water from the local private water company that supplies water to people or whatever.
Yeah. What would, I still have no problem picturing how these agencies would exist and be paid for. My problem is, still with the, you know, what if someone said, "I do not recognize your authority"? I guess you answered that, but I guess it's not a solid answer to me. I don't know.
Well, I feel better about the community in and of each individual person making the decision on their own to refuse to do business with the...
Yeah, I mean, I think that would require nearly everyone understanding liberty, which I think a lot of this is predicated on.
In ancient Ireland, they had a really interesting legal process. And it's only in the last 20 years or so, it's really starting to get exposed to a wider, you know, to what do you call it, to the intellectual crowds, to the I can't remember what, there's a word that I'm thinking of. But anyway, professors and stuff that go in and study this kind of thing. But they had an interesting legal system where the heads of each clan sort of acted as very much like Rothbard's insurance agencies, in the sense that the head of the clan was chosen voluntarily by the rest of the clan because he was the wisest or the most honest or the biggest landowner or whatever reason that the clan chose him as their leader. But it was all voluntary. You could disassociate from him at any time you wanted. But then you took the risk of being without a clan to protect you. So you would need to, you know, for your own self-interest, you'd want to associate yourself with another clan right away. And so within the clan, they all took care of each other. They made sure employment was available and all the different aspects of life that you need to have. And if there was somebody who was rogue to that system, then all of the clans would realize that if that guy's poison to the O'Neill clan, he's probably going to be poison to the Kennedy clan. And so each clan would then, as soon as they got word as to who he was and what his deeds were, they would ostracize him until he came back and remedied whatever it was that, whatever deed. And they looked at everything in justice, not so much as like, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, you punched me, I have to punch you back type of a thing. It was all kind of a monetary system where you punched me, that's going to be $45, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they would bring their suit to the clan leader. And if the bad guy was in another clan, then the two clan leaders, first off, then the clan leader would pay the $45. And then he would go to another clan leader and he'd say, hey, look, this guy punched him. I paid out $45. I need $45. And the two clan leaders would work out the who actually made the final compensation.
What would keep one of these in the Rothbard kind of idea? What would keep one of these private agencies from secretly causing violent crime and property destruction to increase people wanting to hire them?
Well, theoretically, that could take place. But at some point in time, the other agencies would realize that somebody's paying out for all these, you know, for all these things, and it's driving the what do they call it in insurance? They have actuaries. Yeah. And so eventually the other companies would realize that company is messing up their tables.
All right. Well, thanks, Ben. It's been great having you on.
No problem.
Happy Easter, man. Fiends. Say worms.
Worms.
We'll be back with more fiends after this. Thanks, Ben.
A science fiction novel.
Stop. I'm going to hang up now. I got to hang up and take a break and get ready for the next caller. Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Ben.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Worms.
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 Creamy audio worms. Freedom Fiends here. Broadcasting from our windowless bunker in Wyoming, in a rural undisclosed location in a disputed zone in Wyoming. I'm watching squirrels have sex, and I'm also watching bunnies do that too. He's kind of by himself having sex, but I was also watching, while Ben was talking, I was watching squirrels like probably 200 yards away or 250 yards away, 220 yards away, up in a tree. Like, the trees are all bare here, but it's a sunny day. And I could actually see squirrels like really far away.
Leaping from branch
like
to branch.
Like at the end, like a block away, basically, up in a tree. It's pretty nice. So,
yes.
How you doing there, DJ?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Michael.
Yeah. We had our first ever, what do they call them? Trolls. In our chat room. And I guess they didn't realize that there's a really easy way for an admin to ban someone in a chat room. And people were making jokes of, you squashed his free speech. And, you know, people don't know that you're not I mean, whoever posted that was joking, but a lot of people think that you are squashing someone's free speech. If they come into your private property, your forum, and start posting the word a-hole, you know, 50 times in each post, you know, their rights end where your forum begins. So, DJ, you should see this squirrel. You should come see this. Look, come look. He's by the chair right there to the right. Okay, now he's to the left of the chair. He's behind the chair. See him?
Yes.
I think he's poisoned or something. He's flipping up in the air and being in a circle and twisting around. Bunnies do that when it's their mating call. But yeah, man, blocking someone from your own private internet property is not violating their free speech, because they still have free speech elsewhere. They can still go post a-hole elsewhere. Blocking someone's free speech is blocking them from speaking. And yes. Actually only applies to governments, because when it really comes down to it, an individual can't really block someone else's free speech unless they pull guns, and people can't do that over the internet, especially while being anonymous. Ooh, yes. Someone posted gummy worms.
Yay.
That's what you were talking about.
It is.
Yep. So I think Christian Sanger is going to call in, the former sound guy for the Butthole Surfers and an audio aficionado. He has a new microphone he wants to test. It's a $30 mic that works with iPhones.
Nice.
And I think he's going to call in, and we want to test it as a possibility for people to use to call in shows. Not this show. This is going to be the last time this show ever takes phone calls. It's a lot of work, man. I'll still let Ben mumble in, but yeah. So if you want to call in to the Freedom Fiends, you have about 22 more minutes to do it, or forever hold your speech until we get on hold your speech until we get on GCN, because then they'll be screening the calls for us, and you know, they'll have a list of fiends. They'll know who to let through. But I just
only
don't
the
like
approved free speakers.
No, it's just they'll get put to the top of the heap. But it's just so many wires, man. It's so many wires, and it affects our audio quality. And I'm complaining about people calling in, which is bad radio, because you know they say it's not really talk radio unless you take calls. But go ahead and call in, Christian Singer. He's from Texas. I guess it'd be Sanger, wouldn't it?
Be Sanger.
Singer. Yep. So until he does, DJ, talk a little more about anarchist law. You are a paralegal by trade. I don't want to say actual law, but the law of the land. And you go into courts and you help people not get butt raped as much by the state. You work for a defense attorney and
as much
general family law and things like that. People can't really specialize in Wyoming. There aren't enough people. So,
well, there are specialists, but
oil attorneys.
Yes, oil and gas. We were talking. This came to my mind when Ben was talking about police forces and Klan chiefs being nominated by, or you know, put in power.
Internet. I heard that libertarians want the Klan to be the police. That's what some people would hear from that.
No, Klan chiefs with a C, not a K. But I was reading a science fiction book the other day of somebody's idea of a utopian libertarian society. And the people who acted in a quasi-government function, you know, being civic leaders that tried to direct the few things that the society felt needed, a group of people to make some kind of suggestions. If they were interested in becoming this, they had to give up all their own personal wealth and be uncompensated and do this because they felt that they could selflessly direct society. And I thought, well, I don't know. Would it work? I don't know. You know, it. And then if the people got too power crazy, they were dumped. But I thought,
well, there's
you know, some of that was interesting to me. I don't know if I'm not endorsing it, but it was something to chew on mentally.
Yeah, there's another Boston Tea Partyism. It's kind of a Heinleinian idea. Would be that in a minarchist paradise, cops should be drafted. basically the idea is everybody serves as a cop for a year because anybody who would want to be a cop shouldn't be a cop.
Well, you know, I can't say that that final tenet isn't something I disagree with. But.
And others say that cops should be elected, but so sheriffs are elected and sheriffs can be real buttholes. You know, they can.
Yes.
I mean, if you get the sheriff who's friendly on guns, he's probably going to be unfriendly on weed and unfriendly on gay marriage in this part of the country and everything else.
Yes, in this part of the country.
Yeah. But. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Boy, we're just in holiday laid back
mode. I know. It's I think it's a good thing though. I think it's you know, a lot of people think great radio is people screaming at each other, and we kind of started the show with that, and I think it's gotten better since then, since we got away from it. I'm usually quite agitated about everything, and I'm just too mellow to really be agitated today.
You've been in a mellow place all weekend. It's, I know. It's actually
what happened?
Charming.
bad radio, but good husband.
You're always a good husband.
If anyone would like to call in, the call-in number is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. Or Skype to username kittyfeet1. And I'm still waiting for Christian Sanger or Nikki Darling, who I know are both listening and are both interesting chatters and probably more interesting than us today, because I'm in bad radio, good husband mode. I'm like, yeah, man, it's all good.
Oh, I don't know.
DJ put compliacin in your cookie, someone said.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
Last thing. No.
Someone said they like me this mellow. I don't know. This is how I'd be in LibPair, you know.
If would you?
Maybe. I mean, these days all I'm mad about is the government. I mean, trolls don't even make me bad. I just laugh at them and poke fun of them and use them as a teaching hospital example. So a great film I'd like to recommend is called Side by Side, and it is a documentary about the transition of Hollywood from using silver nitrate film to digital capture for images. George Lucas was actually the first person to do that, and he did it with one of the Star Wars movies, and people didn't believe it was digital because he got higher quality than digital had at the time, and B, they said he was the devil and he was going to put people out of business in Hollywood. Like basically saying the old ways are best. We must keep them. And they're really not the best. I mean, silver film is really expensive. It actually contains silver. It actually, 35 millimeter movie film, either the film they film it on or the film they project it from, the studio prints, have about an ounce of silver per 1,000 feet. And that's, you know, per 10 minutes. So, actually, this is enough silver for one Hollywood feature film print, is 10 ounces right here. And you can reclaim it from it by burning film and then putting in an electrolyte solution of lye and using electricity. And people used to do that, and you still can do that. For more on how to get free silver out of trash, stick around for the Freedom Fiends.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Worms, 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 worms.
Squirms. Fish and hogs. Fish and hogs. A little bit of the old fish and hog. So, we're on Freedom Fiends, and we have our first ever caller. I wish, man. Today was... I'm never doing that again. I'm never giving up our valuable time to a pod beef, as entertaining as it is at first. They can take it elsewhere. I mean, that's what Facebook is for. So we got a caller. It's a good caller. It's one of the Fiends' preferred callers. It's Lou. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing pretty good, Michael. How about you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from just outside of Detroit.
I'm sorry.
So I'm just outside of the DMZ.
The Detroit Militarized Zone?
Yes.
What do you want to talk about today, Lou?
Going back to what Ben was talking about with free market justice.
Yes.
I personally believe that there would not be quite as much shenanigans as there is now. My personal belief is that the regulations are what creates most of the bad behavior. And going with the example that Ben gave of the different polluters, because they have been protected and because property rights have not been enforced, basically these companies feel that they have free rein to just engage in all sorts of douchebaggery.
Go on.
So, also, I believe that social pressure would probably take care of a lot of these things. When you guys were talking about it, I was looking up the company that made the pink slime. And once word got out about the pink slime, they kind of took a header.
Yeah, I like the idea of social enforcement.
Shame.
Yes.
Shame. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Shame or informed consumerism.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is realistically, if a restaurant screws me over and you guys always get good service there, okay, so I take my money elsewhere, but you guys don't have to suffer because we don't need the government to come shut it down. Although I do think that we need the government to regulate Facebook to control these pod beefs and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of what's done by the government badly could be done better by things like Angie's List, you know, where people just go on and say what their experience with the company was. And of course you're going to get dweebs on there just typing a-hole, a-hole, a-hole over, but it would work the way that user reviews on Amazon would work. I mean, 1 out of 100 people is an idiot and will just badmouth anything. But you look at the percentage of, it's kind of one of the only places where democracy works, and it's not really democracy because you're not voting on who to point your guns at. You're voting on what you think is good. And, you know, things like Underwriters Laboratories for, you know, certifying electronics, things like that. You know, I think
consumer reports.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a market solution, and rather than being democratic, it's more popular opinion, but it's not popularly enforced opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of how the political structure of Alcoholics Anonymous works. They don't really take a vote on what to change or do differently in a particular meeting. They take what's called a group conscience, which is somewhere between democracy and anarchy, and it is anarchy because you're democratically choosing to be there. So it's kind of panarchy, and they don't really take a vote on something. They all talk about it and then take a vote and then take another vote and kind of do it until there's an agreement of the group, which sounds really collectivist, but it's really kind of not. It really works in an organic way. And AA was actually described by its co-founder, Bill W., in the 1950s, in the book 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, he actually describes it as a synthesis of democracy and anarchy, which is pretty bold because in the 50s, using the word anarchy to describe something and using it correctly, you know, would get you droned. I mean, that was tyranny word. That was terrorist words in the 50s. Still probably is, but...
Yeah, probably. I just lean so much more towards the spontaneous order. Now, I imagine if you had like 5 AA meetings on the same block at the same time, you don't like this one, you go to the other. It's just like restaurant.
Well, I've actually seen that with AA meetings with smoking, which is a place that's commonly mentioned with restaurants. It used to be that all AA meetings were smoking. And then actually Hubert Selby Jr. started the first non-smoking meeting, and it was because he'd had more than one lung removed. And the people in his meeting had enough respect for him to say, we like this guy being here and we're, you know, endangering his health smoking, so we're going to vote to make this a non-smoking meeting. And then other meetings picked up on that throughout Southern California and then spread to Northern California and then spread elsewhere. And now most AA meetings are non-smoking, but there's still a few that are smoking. And you know, you have the choice. You go to the smoking one or you go to the non-smoking one, whichever one you feel comfortable at. And the market literally takes care of it, and there's people at both meetings.
I don't believe you. There had to be government guns involved. There's absolutely no way that mortal humans could ever come to these conclusions without some wise overlord beating them into their senses.
Yeah. Yep. I know you're kidding. But, that's what makes it cool. So what else got there? Yeah. What else you got there, Lou? Tell us some fish and hog stories.
Beautiful day. I was sitting out on the balcony, but I came inside to make the phone call because we got the squirrels playing out in the backyard. And, and I was asking Ben, they don't have them there, but do you guys have squirrels with black fur on them out in Wyoming?
Mostly gray. But
no, it's kind of gray and with a golden undercoat.
If you look at the picture, the picture that I'm going to use for today's cast is of our cats with a stuffed animal that we have. It's a stuffed jackalope. The jackalope is the color of squirrels here.
Oh, they're not that gray.
Yeah. Okay.
No, they've got their bellies are kind of a golden, kind of a nicotine golden brown, but the longer overcoat is a mixture of black and gray, but it looks mostly gray.
Okay. Well, so, I don't generally flip them over.
So like an extra used tobacco filter.
Yeah.
I don't flip them over and rub their bellies like you do, DJ.
Well, my couch is right under where they come and eat, so I look at them closer than you do, I think.
Yeah. So what do you got to be happy and grateful and mellow about today? We usually talk about tyranny on here, but it's been a tyranny-free episode except for some free market tyranny that we sat and watched and then ignored. So what's good for you and good in your life today?
Well, let's see now. The day started out a little bit rainy, but then it was warm and sunshine. I was able to sit on my balcony for a couple hours. Nice. I went downtown and helped cook an early dinner at a homeless shelter.
Nice for you.
Good. And the government didn't force you to do that?
Oh, darn it. That's what I forgot.
Forgot to get your government slip signed so you can prove that you did your government duty?
Oh, God. Maybe somebody can retroactively point a gun at me to go do that. I used to cook professionally, so I've done large quantity. I've done to order stuff in restaurants and everything. This is the first time in at least 10, maybe 15 years that I've actually done somewhat large quantity. And basically, I only cook for about 40 to 50 people tops. And I didn't even have to do most of it. They had a lot of it prepped already. But it was nice to go in there, and I do enjoy the cooking. So,
nice.
Yeah, all around for a good day.
Did you ever cook shepherd's pie or scrapple?
Yes, shepherd's pie.
Yeah, they served those at my boarding school on Sundays after church, I guess to like, you know, it's kind of like wearing a hair suit or something. I actually found it really yummy, but the people on the West Coast don't know what shepherd's pie and scrapple are. But, scrapple is basically where you take a pig and throw it in a blender and then cook it and put sap. What's the sap from trees? Maple syrup on it. And shepherd's pie is basically meat and potatoes put in a blender. It's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, that's one of those things when you're running low on cash, you can make up a lot of it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's
we have squipple here.
What do you have?
We have squipple instead of scrapple.
What's that? Squirrels? Scrapple?
Yeah.
Squipple?
Yeah. Because the government's killing all the hogs.
Oh.
Well, don't they kill the hogs and give them to homeless shelters, or do they throw them in a pit and cover them with lye so nothing can be used?
After they throw them in the pit with a lie, I think they have a voodoo shaman come in and put a curse upon it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lou. Thanks for calling in, Lou. It's been the last call we're ever going to take on the Fiends Tell Run Radio. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks. Bye, Michael. Bye, DJ.
Say worms.
Bye.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Yeah. Freedom Fiends. We'll be back next week.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help.
download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.